Northern Ireland is a special case, needs extra funding from London. That's the argument being put by our leading politicians as the Stormont talks grind on. Trade unions are making the same case. Unions representing 215,000 people here announced they're going on the offensive against public spending cuts. They want Stormont to say no, David Cameron, on cuts and welfare reform. But the special pleading for more money may not win the day. I want you to listen to this exchange from the House of Commons yesterday between the Northern Ireland Secretary of State Teresa Villiers and the fellow Conservative MP Nigel Mills.
Mr. Nigel Mills.
I agree with Secretary of State's earlier sentiment that the solution to every problem in Northern Ireland can't be more money from the English taxpayer. Would she now confirm that there'll be no bigger offer than the £1 billion that was talked about last week being offered to actually get this deal over the line?
Well, as I've said many times, the solution to these problems can't be a big cheque from the UK government, partly because that wouldn't solve the problems and partly because there simply is no more money. The reality is we made it very clear that we're not prepared to subsidise a more expensive welfare system for Northern Ireland. We're certainly prepared to continue to discuss the funding of matters such as new institutions on the past.
Well, the man who said it, Nigel Mills, MP, is with us this morning. Why are you not sympathetic towards our issue, our dilemma in Northern Ireland, Nigel?
I think I'm very sympathetic to it, and I think it's clear that Northern Ireland already receives a much larger proportion of the public exchequer than its population size would warrant, and that's clearly the reason that is the 30 years of serious trouble. I think the question we have to ask here is the solution to this to give even more money to Northern Ireland than they already get, as opposed to trying to get these problems solved locally by the parties elected locally?
Well, you said even more than that, didn't you? You said money, you're objecting to Northern Ireland, us here in Northern Ireland, getting more money from the English taxpayer.
Yes, I mean...
Don't you think that we pay taxes here in Northern Ireland too?
Yes, of course you do, as do the people of Wales and Scotland. But the simple fact is that the share of public spending in Northern Ireland is far higher than the tax paid in Northern Ireland. That has to be paid from somewhere, and that is effectively paid for by the English taxpayer.
But we were all in this together, are we not?
Yes, of course we are. I mean, as I say, I have no issue, and I don't think my constituents have any issue with the fact that Northern Ireland needs a lot of help to overcome 30-odd years of trouble that it has, and I think no one's saying why is Northern Ireland police force funded far higher than the Derbyshire police force. I think we all accept that absolutely has to be the case. Northern Ireland needs help to get itself sorted out and be in the same economic position as the rest of the UK, but I'm saying I don't think the solution here can be even yet more help than the large amounts of help that's already being provided.
You see, I guess there will be some people listening to this morning, Nigel, saying, do you really understand the post-traumatic stress disorder that there is in this country? Do you really understand the deep-rooted psychological pain and physical pain that many people are still enduring? Do you really understand how important it is to invest in people feeling that the past and legacy issues have been dealt with so that this country can move forward, and that costs money?
I mean, I would probably say as an Englishman of 40 years old, I'm sure I probably don't understand the full extent of the grief. I've tried on the select committee to get my head around it, but I wouldn't claim to actually do that. No, but I'm saying that the Secretary of State was quite clear today that the Westminster government are prepared to fund more help with resolving the legacy issues of the past. But I would say the flip side to what you're saying to me is it right that my constituents and the whole of England, Wales and Scotland have welfare reform that it's not just a cost saving, it's an attempt to make work pay and get people actually back into work as well. Should that be applied across the whole United Kingdom except Northern Ireland? I'm not sure that's something that my constituents will accept or is actually fair or actually good for Northern Ireland. That has nothing really to do with the history of the past. That's about what's the right welfare system. And the reality of this is that because the parties can't agree on that, they're ending up with much deeper cuts on other public services than actually would be necessary if they had a sensible welfare policy.
So here you were yesterday encouraging the Secretary of State, Teresa Villiers, to not offer any more than the £1 billion. And you pumped that figure out there. Will she now confirm that there will be no bigger offer than the £1 billion that was talked about last week? And this 1 billion figure can be misleading in itself, because it's not 1 billion of new money, Nigel, is it?
No, and I didn't say it was. That was the billion pound that was floated as the way of describing that package. I fully understand that contained a load of effective borrowing rights that would have to be paid back. But, you know, you only get a short time to ask a question, and that was the,
sure.
And
it's
the way
a nice,
the package is being referred to.
It's a nice, sexy headline, isn't it? 1 billion, and I guess other people watching that might think, my goodness, Northern Ireland are getting 1 billion. We're on the pig's back. But, of course, how much of the 1 billion is new money, Nigel?
Well, I mean, I suspect the sexy headline on the 1 billion was what the papers were reporting last end of last week when it was actually offered, not something that is down to me. But and I accept that most of that is not really new money. I think the main new money in there was some help with the police inquiries into the past, which does seem like a pretty sensible situation to me. But I just think, you know...
You don't think it would have been slightly more responsible in the House of Commons to say, will you now confirm that there will be no offer bigger than the, whatever it is, couple of million that Northern Ireland's been offered, rather than make it sound like a billion?
Well, it comes out to the same point, doesn't it? We should agree that the solution here is for local politicians to actually come up with a sensible deal for the future of Northern Ireland and actually make some progress, rather than think the solution is to keep going with a bigger funding request back to Westminster, where there is no money yet. And these welfare changes are being applied across the rest of the United Kingdom, but they have to be applied to Northern Ireland as well.
Have a listen to Martin McGuinness. Here's what he said last week.
This place here is different. This is not the north of England. This is not London. This isn't Scotland. And this isn't Wales. We are a society emerging from conflict. And the legacy of all of that has posed huge problems for our executive.
What would you say back to Martin?
Well, I mean, he's clearly right that Northern Ireland has a set of very difficult problems that aren't faced by the rest of the United Kingdom. And that's the reason why it already gets significantly higher public spending per head than the rest of the United Kingdom. What he's asking for is even yet higher public spending per head than the rest of the United Kingdom. And I said, I don't think that's a solution. I mean, his party is clearly in the Republic of Ireland on some political campaign against austerity, which incidentally seems to be working quite well south of the border now. I can see why politically he doesn't want to do it in Northern Ireland, but that is not really going to take Northern Ireland forward, is it?
And your constituents are just, they've had enough, have they, of the special case pleading? That's your instinct?
I think my instinct is that the English taxpayer is a little annoyed now at the various deals being given out in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland, which involve a lot higher public spending in those areas being paid for by people in England, and that we need to find a fair solution to this, and that solution is not going to be in each case, let's just have more money from the English taxpayer. I just think that won't work. And you know, I think everyone is trying to be fair in helping Northern Ireland through its difficult past, but there aren't any blank checks that can keep being written every time politicians can't come to an agreement.
No, I hear you, and it's a pretty stark message. And listen, Nigel, I know I'm pushing you slightly this morning, but many people might agree with you that we cannot keep on saying year in, year out, we're a special case, write a cheque. And other people like Robert in Belfast here, I'll let him speak to you now, Nigel, might be very angry with you. Go ahead, Robert.
Good morning, Nigel.
Good morning.
I have to say, listen, I mean, it really irks me to hear people like you come across from England there and you talk about your English constituents. And I'm not biased against English people at all. But the fact is that the problems in Northern Ireland are entirely the responsibility of the English taxpayer and their government. You know, I mean, we had 40 years of civil war here in which the English military, let's put it that way, were up to their neck here, dividing this society, arming one side against the other. I think it cost about 60 or 80 billion to do that. If they had put the money in among the people, there wouldn't have been any money. You know, do you think the likes of Kelly and Adams and McGuinness would be spending time in prison if we had had justice here and we had had the proper money which was due to us? Don't forget, you occupied this land. Whatever it cost, you're responsible for it. I mean, don't be coming and saying like, my taxpayers are tired. You're tired, get out of here. Or put the money in that you took out of the place. This is a historical problem, not something that happened whenever you became an elected member of the British Parliament.
I don't think we played a little part in our own demise ourselves, Robert. You don't think people who live here have a responsibility?
Well, listen, let me tell you, Stephen, it's all right for you to talk to Listen, I had two murder attacks on me. I was an ex-British soldier. I never harmed anybody. I would never belong to anything. I was locked up in the internment sweeps, beaten, dragged out of my bed in the middle of the night, wouldn't let me put my clothes on properly, my wife not even dressed properly. You know, and the English taxpayer, they don't want to pay any more money to right the wrongs they've done here. I mean, don't let this stupid Irishman thing, forget about that. That's history. And that's another responsibility the English people put in us. They gave us the name of being the stupidest people in the world. And Nigel, go on the internet there and read. There's a bit there called Irish genocide, and you might learn something about what you people have done in Ireland.
And there, Nigel, in a nutshell, you have the sentiment of those that are saying you really, really do need to pump money into this place because you've got a responsibility to understand the pain and the division that was here in the past and that you contributed to it. The English contributed to it, Nigel. That's Robert's point.
No, I mean, I probably, without wanting to go back and debate the whole of the past, I think I would accept that the UK as a country as a whole has responsibility to help Northern Ireland recover from the dreadful troubles it has, and I think we're doing that as best we can. I mean, as I keep saying, if the levels of public spending in Northern Ireland are much higher than in the rest of the United Kingdom, one of the government's first acts in 2010 was to increase the policing budget in Northern Ireland by £250 million so they could cope with the policing challenges. Unless, I mean, I would say, yes, I don't think anybody in the UK wants to walk away from responsibility for helping Northern Ireland recover and become a fully economically effective country again. There's no point in that. I mean, that's why the government are now proposing to devolve corporation tax power to Northern Ireland if the parties can reach a deal on the budget. I think we're absolutely committed to that, but that doesn't take away from the question, is the solution every time the parties can't agree on something that the Westminster government has to come and write a cheque to try and get them over that hurdle, whereas I think what everyone's saying is actually the local parties, to take Northern Ireland forward, need to find a deal on these issues themselves.
Peter Bunting wants to speak to you now from the Irish Congress of Trade Unions. They've issued a statement vowing unions will go on the offensive. Well, you've heard Peter Bunting, Nigel Mills this morning, make a very coherent argument as to why we need to be able to stand up on our own two feet, and why would his English constituents tolerate more of their taxes being spent on us?
Well, the answer to Nigel Mills is very simple. Since the Tory party have went on the rampage under the guise of austerity, which is really an ideological view, that they want to dismantle the state, the difficulty is that we've already taken out of Northern Ireland £3.6 billion cumulatively since 2010, since they came to power. And the difficulty is that we can't sustain any more. We're down to the bare bones. And unfortunately, Northern Ireland is different. Whether we like to accept that or not.
But Nigel Mills is already telling you we're getting more money per head than any other place in the UK. So there's an acknowledgement that we're different. But stop asking for blank cheques. It's not going to happen. There is no more money.
Let me just say something to you, Stephen, in relation to that. I'm always intrigued by this view that, you know, austerity is going to work and there's no money left. In 1945, when the UK government had three times the deficit it has now, it introduced a new Jerusalem in the terms of the visionaries of that time, Attlee and Bevan, etc. And they introduced four pillars into our society. And that was, by the way, welfare, free schools, free education, the NHS and social housing. All the things which the Tories, with the sixth richest economy in the world currently, are attempting to dismantle. And I'm happy that these are political leaders, for once we're united in making a demand of David Cameron for more money. Because we are a conflict still emerging, or a society still emerging from conflict. We're still attempting to deal with the social consequences of that particular 40 years.
Theresa Villers, in response to Nigel Mills in the House of Commons yesterday, said, "There is no more money. We have made it clear we're not prepared to subsidise a more expensive welfare system for Northern Ireland."
Well, that's pretty strange. You heard Nigel there a minute ago. You know, I've heard this argument about parity. It's grand that we want welfare reform to be the same everywhere. But yet, when it comes to the issue of corporation tax, which favours the rich, we'll break parity then. So either you stand by parity or you don't, one or the other. The other issue I want to talk about as well, is that, you know, austerity, all it has done, it hasn't worked in the United Kingdom, it hasn't worked in Northern Ireland. All it has done is build a big society. And the big society, as far as I can see, is we're creating bigger and more food banks to feed the poor.
Nigel?
That's what the Tories are doing for the big society.
Go on, Nigel.
Well, I mean, we can debate economic policies all day, probably. I mean, the simple fact of the matter is we're still in the United Kingdom spending somewhere over £90 billion a year more than tax revenue as we sit here 5 years after the end of the recession. You know, at some point, you have as a country to start living within your means and start paying back the huge levels of debt we've incurred over the last 5 years trying to recover from the recession. I would say austerity policies in the UK have been nothing like what they've had to be in the Republic of Ireland, where, you know, thankfully their economy now seems to be showing some signs of recovery. I mean, we've actually pretty much increased public spending every year just by, you know, much smaller amounts than were perhaps planned by the previous government. So I don't think we've seen the swinging severe austerity that seems to be being talked about here. Spending on the health service has gone up each year. Spending on schools has been protected. So I don't think any of the kind of nightmare scenarios that were just being talked about have any real truth in them. But the simple matter on parity is that, you know, we have devolved responsibility for large parts of governing Northern Ireland down to Northern Ireland Assembly. They're asking for us to devolve corporation tax down to them. They already have welfare devolved to them. The important thing is that having got those powers and that responsibility, that they exercise them responsibly and actually, you know, try and have an actual budget in place to actually run public services in Northern Ireland. Personally, I think devolving corporation tax down to have a different rate in the same country is not a particularly clever idea, but we are set that that's what Northern Ireland wants to be able to compete with.
Why do you not think it's a good idea?
Well, I would just think it would raise the spectre of lots of large UK companies setting up a brass plaque in Belfast with one man sat there doing finance, intellectual property and internet trading and, you know, everything else that requires no actual labour content to try and avoid UK tax within a country. I don't think we yet know how we can stop that happening. I think what we want that tax devolution to do is trigger real jobs doing real things in Northern Ireland, not artificially moving profits from the rest of the UK into
Can I just ask you this, Nigel, before you go this morning? Were you put up to asking that question of Teresa Villiers? Was that a plant?
No, it's not.
By the Tory Party. Did anyone from the Tory Party approach you and ask you to ask that question?
No, I mean, we had the urgent question from the Shadow Minister, and we all get to choose what questions we ask. No one put me up to that. That was the question that I wanted to ask. I think it is clear that we need politicians in Northern Ireland to sort their own problems out and find a deal to resolve these, I accept, very difficult issues and not think the solution can be a cheque from the Westminster government to keep solving everything.
Nigel, thank you. Morning to you.